I would like to read everything that you sent me to remind some of you of your very challenging questions that you sent us. And I split the time with Bonnie. She said that she would like 6 minutes, so I get 19 minutes, okay? And so here are the 13 questions, 12 you asked me. Number one, describe your relationship with Jesus Christ. Two, what was the most exciting experience you had in your life? By the way, that was when I met Bonnie and married her. What is your favorite time of the day and why? What is each of your testimonies in life verse? What is your love story? That's what I already said was the greatest, most exciting day of my life. Dr. Barnett, what is your favorite book of the Bible to teach? Miss Bonnie, what one piece of advice would you give to young single women? Number eight, what direction do you believe God is leading your life now? Number nine, what is your method of memorizing scripture? 10, what time in your life did you most need wisdom from God? 11, how many Bible verses have you memorized? Number 12, how do you keep the love between you and your wife? And the last one, how do you maintain motivation and encourage each other? So those are the 13 questions, and I'm done. It's just reading them was too hard, but I'll go through them with you. But it's such a blessing to answer my part of the questions. And my training, when I was trained like all of you are there in Bible school, I was trained to always think of a verse from the Bible whenever I was asked a question, and to locate in the scripture the answer to the question. And so I went through your 13 questions, and now if you look at the screen, my first answer to you is all of these questions to me are about decisions that I've made and my wonderful wife Bonnie has made. And you will never be in the future what you're not becoming today. I meet so many young people and they say, well, someday I'm going to, you know, date a Christian, or someday I'm going to memorize a verse, or someday I'm going to serve the Lord. You'll never be in the future what you aren't in your life doing today. In the next slide, what were the 10 most life-changing decisions that you made in your life? Basically, that's what I'm answering for you, because that's what you ask on this sheet of paper. Every one of your questions were about a major life-changing choice that we made to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or that we made to memorize scripture. You know, if you think of each of these questions, all of them that you wrote have to do with choices that we made. In the next slide, I'll show you my answers. The question about how I was saved, it was the decision to respond to Acts 16:31, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one about what keeps me motivated, it's based on Romans 12:1-2, dedicating my life. You ask about what verses and passages. That was a decision to have a word-filled Joshua 1:8-9 life, which basically is all about believing that the Word of God can fill our hearts and minds. The fourth one is the decision to prepare and study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Then what we're doing in our life, in fact, when you said here, what direction do you believe God is leading in your life? That's that fifth decision, a Matthew 28:18-20, Great Commission life. The sixth decision was Acts 13:36. And each of these verses are among my most favorite verses in the Bible. And Acts 13:36 says that David fulfilled God's purpose. So that's really, as you ask, what direction do you have? How do you maintain motivation, etc.? It has to do with believing that God has called me, my wonderful wife, and us together to fulfill his purpose. Number seven, the decision to pursue in Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, marriage, like the Bible says. And that, of course, was the greatest day of my life. Number eight, the decision to invest my life. As Peter said, the greatest investment we can make is in Christ's church. 1 Peter 5 says that those that serve Christ's church receive an unfading crown. Number nine, the decision, in fact, when you said, what direction do you believe God's leading in your life right now? And what keeps you motivated? A lot has to do with number nine there. 2 Peter 1:15 is Peter saying, after I depart, actually the word is launch. He's talking about going to heaven. He said, I want to make sure you're reminded of everything I said. And that's a wonderful reminder to me that if you spend 20, 30, 40 hours a week preparing messages, make sure that they'll be around. This was Peter saying he was going to write down in his epistles the word of God. But it's a reminder for each of us that we can leave behind a testimony. And for me right now, I have 3,000 little testimonies online. And those are Bible questions that I've answered and taught in classes just like you and as well as other groups. And that is from what Peter said. And then number 10, the decision to follow 2 Timothy 4, which means to finish well. Well, let me just show you all of these. The 10 best decisions that your questions reflect that I've made in my life biblically is the decision to respond to God in an Acts 16:31 life of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened to me when I was 6 years old. I have it over here on the board. When I was born, I lived 6 years in sin and wickedness. I was saved. At the moment of my salvation, all of my sins from birth to salvation, all the way till when the Lord calls me home, all of them were put onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one of you asked on here, describe your relationship with Christ. In one of the lessons I taught you, I began in my walk with the Lord at age 6, praying. And as I pray, I focus on the Lord. I surrender to Him, asking Him to control me, lead me through that day, supply me with enough strength, cleanse me. You know, we're supposed to confess and forsake and have right relationships with those around us and with the Lord to protect me and to empty me so that I can serve Him. But the neat thing about my relationship with the Lord today is it's just as simple as it was when I was 6 and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one on your screen there, the decision to present my body as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, to have that Joshua 1, 8 and 9 word-filled life of hiding God's word. When I was your age, students, I began memorizing while I was in Bible school one verse a day. And I did that all the way through my time in Bible school. I was in Bible school for 4 years. That means that I memorized 1,500 verses, one a day. You say, how? The simple, and I'll show you here on the marker board. Here's a verse I memorized, John 3:16. And I always do the first letter. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first letter of each word on my cards that I carry around with me, and my favorite time of the day, there's another question, is the morning. When I begin the day in prayer, seeking the Lord to focus and control and lead me, but then I work on my verses, and I rotate between all my different packs of verses. On one side of the card, I have this reference and those letters. On the other side of the card, I actually have the verse taped onto the card. And so that is the decision to have a Joshua 1, 8, and 9, number 3 there, word-filled life. You didn't ask me, but I would say one of your great decisions in your lives is that you're deciding to have a 2 Timothy 2:15 formal training. That verse says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Then while I was getting my education, number 5 there, I began to decide I was going to commit my life to obeying what Matthew 28 says. Now, if you look here, they're all right here. See, these verses are the answers to your questions. And they're also the decisions that are reflected in our lives. Acts 16:31, to be saved, dedicating our lives to the Lord, becoming word-filled. If you were in our house, you would notice right at the sink where my wonderful wife works, preparing 3 meals a day that we share, and she's done that for the last 30-plus years with all of our children, right in the center in front of her sink are her verse cards, paper verse cards, the same verses that we learned when we were your age in Bible college. She's still working on them, still meditating on them, and those verses are because we want a word-filled life. And that's really what keeps us motivated. You ask in your questions, how do you keep the love between you and your wife? The Bible answers that. In fact, that's number 7 there. That's pursuing an Ephesians 5:25-33 life of loving Bonnie as Christ loves the church. And seeing her as the gifted helpmeet I prayed for my whole life. In fact, that's what I told her when I met her. Really, I hoped it wouldn't scare her away. But as soon as I met Bonnie, I said, you're the one I prayed for my whole life. You are exactly the answer to my prayer. I skipped over this. Acts 13:36 is fulfilling God's purpose. That's focusing your life. Most people want to be somebody else. In fact, most people I talk to lament they're not someone else. They wish they look like someone else. They wish they could do what other people do. And I always say, what did God create you to do? See, that's what Acts 13:36 is about. Do you know why David was a man after God's own heart? Because he fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. God created David to do something no one else could do. God created you to do something no one else can do. That's getting focused in life. When I was working with Dr. John MacArthur, do you know what he told me to do? He says, plan to neglect everything but what God called and designed and created you to do in life. Most people do everything else, and they basically are frustrated and kind of empty because they don't realize the joy of doing what God created you to do. And really, I encourage you to focus on what God created and designed you to do. Number 7 there, you can see on the screen, pursuing Bonnie. Number 8, the decision to invest my life in a 1 Peter 5:1-4 pattern of shepherding Christ's flock. You want to get an unfading crown? Serve Christ's church. There are a lot of people that are involved in all kinds of things and disconnected from church. What Jesus Christ is focusing on, in fact, if I was there teaching the book of Revelation, I would remind you that the book of Revelation says that the focus of Jesus Christ from the cross onward is singularly on his church. And you want to be involved with what he is involved with. If you want to be tied together with what the mighty creator of the universe is involved in, get tied to the church. And I'm so excited to hear about many of you that got baptized and are serving, but make sure, not just in Bible school, but for life, you're church focused. And number 9, the decision to plan a 2 Peter 1:15 discipline of communicating God's truth to the next generation. I decided I would not only do my job, but I would start discipling. And from on that screen, by the way, all those numbers in there are the year I made those decisions. In 1986, a long time ago, I said, Lord, I'm going to start pouring my life into small groups. And I started meeting for breakfast with groups of men. And I would show them how to memorize, like you see on the board here. I would show them how to study the Bible. I would show them how to pray. I taught them how to lead people to Christ and to witness. And that was the discipline of communicating God's truth, discipleship. And then finally, number 10 there, the decision to follow the 2 Timothy 4 goal of pouring my life out as a drink offering to the end. Remember what Paul said? I fought the good fight. I have finished the course that the Lord laid down, kind of like David, his focused life. So to answer your questions before my wonderful Bonnie comes, describe your relationship with Jesus Christ. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved at age 6. And all of my sins were placed on Jesus Christ. What was the most exciting experience you had in life? Marrying Bonnie. She was the answer to my life prayers. I prayed 27 years to meet her. So that's certainly an exciting event. What's your favorite time of the day and why? Because I want a word-filled life, my favorite time of the day is when I can spend time listening to God. When I memorize my verses, when I read His Word, I'm hearing His voice. And then that issues into what you see over here, me praying back to Him, asking for Him to focus and control and lead and supply and cleanse and protect and empty me. What's my testimony in life verse? My testimony is I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He took all of my sins on Himself. And I don't have one life verse, but I have many. One of them would be, I want to present myself a living sacrifice. I don't want to be dismayed, for the Lord's with me. I want to study to show myself approved. I want to go into all the world and share the gospel because Christ said He'd be with us as we do that. I want to fulfill His purpose. So I guess I have 10 life verses on the board for you. What is your love story? I grew up in a dysfunctional home. Abused, I would say, by my father, according to the current terminology. He used to choke me, squeeze my neck until I couldn't breathe and would turn red, and would tell me if I did whatever I did that made him mad, he would break my neck next time. But you know what? I didn't want to have a marriage like my parents, so I began as a tiny boy praying that the Lord would give me a wife like the one I read about in the Bible. And that's my love story, and that's how I met Bonnie. My favorite book of the Bible to teach, whatever one I'm teaching. Right now I'm actually preparing for a group of students that I'm teaching the book of Revelation coming up in about a week or two. And so I'm so excited about that. In fact, right now I'm working on the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, this whole COVID era, and I mean, I could take the whole question and answer time on that. What direction do you believe God is leading in your life right now? To pour my life out into the next generation, to encourage leaders of Christ Church, and to finish the course well. What's your method of memorizing Scripture? I wrote it right there, showed you. What time in your life did you most need wisdom from God? Marrying. If you want to have an unhappy life, marry the wrong person. If you want to have the most glorious, joy-filled, overflowing life, marry the one that God has perfectly designed for you. That's when I needed most wisdom with number 7 here. How many Bible verses have you memorized? Well, just in Bible college, 1,500. How do you keep the love between you and your wife? Well, I was holding her hand this morning as we read our daily devotions, and I had more fun, and she was laughing at me because we read back and forth. We're going through the one-year Bible, and we read all the footnotes and everything, but just listening to the voice of God together in devotional time as we read and pray together, that's how you keep the love between you and your wife. That's how God designed it in his word. And that's what he describes in Ephesians 5. And how do you maintain motivation and encourage each other? Well, how I encourage Bonnie is I tell her all the time that she is the most beautiful reflection of Christ's love that I've ever experienced in my life. I've never seen anybody that reflects Christ like her, and I'm getting into her time, so I'm going to have to quit. So what keeps me motivated? I want to finish the course. I want to pass on to the next generation. I want to invest my whole life focusing on Christ's church. I want to fulfill what God called me to do in partnership with Bonnie, obedient, doing the Great Commission, studying and rightly dividing his word, filling my mind every day with his word, living as a sacrifice, and thanking him that he saved me and washed all my sins away. So there are my 12 questions. Thanks for asking them.